is After the Bell, a podcast presentation of The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. And Paul Nolte is here with us again, too, back after the jobs report this morning that showed about 103,000 jobs created last month, Paul.
It was much lower than expected. And certainly, as we talked this morning about the ADP report being very strong, this came in very weak and reversed a surprisingly strong February number. So when we take a look at the last couple months' average, we're still averaging 200,000 in new jobs, which is running at a very, very good pace and better than much of last year, and certainly better than it was a year ago this time. So the job market, I'm taking a look at this report as a one-off right now. We've seen this happen before, October of last year, March of last year. We had very bad reports that were followed by very good reports. So until we see a string of these, I wouldn't get too terribly worried about it yet.
A lot of people have asked me in the hallways this morning, wait, you guys said there was going to be 170,000, 200,000 jobs. What was the difference there? What made up that difference? I didn't know how to answer that.
They're going with the retail sector, and the retailers always blame things on weather. Mm. So with the three or four nor'easters that we had, that had some impact. So there is some weather involved in here, but I think it's just really more of a normalization of last month's very strong numbers. Those were significantly above average. And you have to remember, too, on a month-to-month basis, these numbers tend to be extraordinarily volatile. So you say, well, gosh, that was a huge miss. When you look at it from how they normally miss the mark, this was an average to slightly above average miss. I mean, that's how dispersed those numbers are.
We'll get into some of the nitty-gritty of this in a minute, but do you want to tear apart the wage part of this, too? So at least we saw a little bit of wage growth.
A little bit. So we're all the way up to 2.7. Mm-hmm. We were at 2.6, and we've been hanging at 2.6, 2.5. So the wage growth is slowly moving higher, but we've been at 4.1 now for 6 months running. And we would expect, the economists certainly expect, much higher wage growth and wage pressures to start to show up in the numbers, and they're not. And I think there's actually, when you start to look underneath the surface, there's some good reasons for it, is where are the jobs being created? So we are creating a lot of jobs, but they tend to be in the lower-paying sectors of the economy, not the higher-paying ones. So when you add lower-paying into the mix, it tends to suppress that average, or keeps that average relatively constant.
The reaction to Wall Street, I think most investors have been focused on trade this morning, haven't they?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, it's all been trade. It's really kind of hard. When the numbers came out, we saw a little bit of a reaction in the equity market, actually positive. We saw a little bit of reaction in the bond market. Yields came down a little bit. I think with this number, a lot of investors are now saying we've got 3 rate increases this year and we're done. We're taking 4 off the table. So the discussion of 3 or 4 rate hikes, this probably moves the needle a little bit more toward 3 rate hikes and 4 not likely. We've got 2 months to go yet before the next Fed meeting. So there's a lot of data points that we're going to be analyzing and reviewing before we get to the next Fed meeting and see where the economy really looks at that point.
Because if we saw more jobs, if we saw 200,000 jobs, the Fed probably would have been more inclined to look at that 4.
They would. And then you would have seen the bond market sell off a little bit more. Maybe the stock market, it's hard to gauge what they would be doing here. They might sell off a little bit, again, anticipating the market. The equity markets like low interest rates. So the fact that the Fed would go 4 may have a negative impact in the stock market. And that's part of the reason why I think you saw stocks, at least right after the report, bounce up a little bit.
And the Wall Street reaction, just to let people remember, when the wage growth shot up a little bit more than everybody expected, the markets reacted negatively to that. It's bad news for people who are making money, like with a salary and a job. Mm-hmm. It's good news for the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad news for investors. Bad news for me and you who are making money in a paycheck. good news for investors.
No, not necessarily. So when you see wage growth pick up like that, and it was a surprise to the upside, it's good for you and I. I mean, our paychecks are bigger, and certainly with the discussion around the tax reform, our wages should be higher. But that's not wage growth. That's just more money in our pockets, less taxes. From a corporation's perspective, higher wage growth means lower margins. It means less money is falling to the bottom line. More money is going out to my workers. So if less money is falling to the bottom line, my earnings per share growth slows down a little bit as I'm expanding. And Wall Street looks at that negatively. They really want to see a lot of net earnings per share growth, and that has an impact of dampening that growth, and that puts prices under a little bit of pressure.
And I think what I was trying to say is we recall the jobs report where the market went down significantly
right.
when that happened.
Right, and that was really the beginning of all of this volatility. So we haven't gotten out of that volatility mix. We've now added tariffs to that discussion. Inflation, I think, has moved to the back burner. Economic growth is still fine at about 2-2.5%, but now we've transitioned from, oh my gosh, we're going to have higher inflation and the Fed's going to have to be aggressive, to what's going to happen between the U.S. and China.
Let's go through and talk about the winners and the losers in terms of numbers of jobs. Paul has created wonderful graphics again this morning for our radio audience to see.
If I hold it up close to the mic, does that help?
A little bit closer. But manufacturing had a good month.
Manufacturing has had an extraordinary year. They've actually done a very good job of adding jobs almost across the board. Construction took it on the chin a little bit this last month. When we take a look at the full year, and again, this goes back to where the wage growth is, the top three parts of the economy that are growing the fastest as far as new jobs over the last 12 months, professional services, health and hospitality. Professional services and hospitality tend to be, again, lower wages, lower wage growth type of positions. And where jobs are flat to down a little bit, actually, in the government, utilities, and information. And information, I'm reading that as technology firms being a little bit flat there.
Healthcare added 22,000 jobs. Professional and business services, 33,000. That's up 502,000 over the year. Mining, we even saw more in mining, 9,000 in March. Retail, not so much, again.
And retail is a tough one, and we've talked about it off and on over the course of time, in that it is an Amazon effect. You know, we talk about some of the big box retailers, the Macy's, the Walmarts, et cetera, and the impact that Amazon is having on the retail landscape. And we do see it in the numbers on a month-to-month basis. We certainly see it over the course of a year. We see it in the earnings numbers and retail sales numbers, and that shift more from online retailing to walking into a store on the street.
I knew you were going to bring up Amazon, so I put together some numbers on the positive impact of Amazon. And some of these you can draw directly to Amazon. Others you just sort of presume that they're connected to Amazon. Truck and transportation added 6,700 positions. Courier and messenger jobs, those would be the delivery folks, 5,800. Warehousing and storage, 2,500. Non-store retail, about 4,300 positions, compared to some of those 13,000 brick-and-mortar retail jobs lost.
Right. So that's, I said, you're seeing that shift in, and again, when you take a look at a fair amount of those jobs, certainly the retail jobs or the jobs working inside of Amazon, you're not talking about high wage growth type of positions. And again, that goes back to the average wage growth being stuck at that roughly 2.5%. And I'll remind everybody that when we take a look at wage growth over time, we normally go from a low of 2% wage growth to a high of 4% wage growth. And if you look at the numbers over the course of the last 50, 60 years, that's what you tend to see, is that flow back and forth. As the economy gets very strong, you get strong wage growth. As people are, you know, having a problem finding people to work, you can get that good wage growth. We've been stuck at the low end of that because of the dynamic and changing in the economy and the makeup of the economy. A lot of it is going to the internet. A lot of it is just a change in the overall makeup of our job landscape right now. And part of the reason why I think you're not seeing the wage growth that we typically would see coming out of a recession, certainly, and certainly this part of an economic expansion, 9 years into an economic expansion.
Some of the demographics, too. I know we like to touch on these every time we talk. Black unemployment rate, we saw that number in February at 6.9%. Everybody was very happy to see that. Then it went up to 7.7%. It's up to 8% now.
And, you know, again, and that when we take a look at inside those numbers, it's I tend to take a look at those on a year-over-year basis because, as you just noted, the month-to-month numbers jump around a lot, especially when you get into some of the subsectors that tend to be a little bit smaller. So, again, looking at it on a year-over-year basis, a lot of the job growth has been positive in a lot of those sectors. What we're dealing with right now from a very large scope, if you will, is the retirement of the baby boomers and the baby boomers leaving the workforce. And are we getting those people coming in behind them and replacing them? And we're going to continue to see an awful lot of people leaving the workforce over the next 10, 15 years as the baby boomers kind of work their way through. So again, a lot of dislocation. It's going to make the numbers on a month-to-month basis difficult to take a look at.
And there are even some experts, Paul, that look at that and say, as the baby boomers leave the job market and the millennials come in, they're coming in a lower salary, and that may be impacting the wage part of this as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've all heard the stories of, you know, people being laid off and being replaced by somebody with a lower pay. We saw it. I know in the teaching profession, there were certainly different incentives for teachers to take early retirement. So I would get them off the books and I would bring in somebody fresh out of college at a much lower pay scale. So from a school district's perspective, that was actually positive. And we see that in different industries, too, where you have an incentive to take retirement. And then I can bring somebody in at a much lower wage.
I still want to use one of the podcasts one of these days to talk about what happens when robots take over our jobs. But that's an entirely different podcast.
We've got about 10, 15 years for that one.
Paul, I know that on the opening bell today we talked about maybe 3.5% unemployment below 4. That's going to have to wait, isn't it?
It's going to have to wait. We've been stuck at this 6 number for a while. And what's interesting is you look at some of the numbers, the people that were unemployed that are coming into the workforce because the employment numbers are so good and people are looking for bodies to work. We're getting people coming in off the sidelines that have been sitting there for a very long time. That's kept that unemployment rate fairly constant and low at that 4.1 level. If you look at the amount of time unemployed, number of weeks unemployed, that's down to 9.1%. That's the lowest it's been since 2007. And again, it's coming off an extraordinarily high level of 24 weeks in the throes of the recession. But we're now kind of back into that normal range. If we get down to about 5 weeks to 6 weeks, we might start to see that wage pressure pick up. You know, it was interesting. There was a story about we're not to the levels that we were in 2000 where you had recruiters standing outside of prisons as people were getting out. I need your body. You know, here's a job for you. We're not quite there yet. So I think we have a little bit of wiggle room yet, but certainly the numbers are very strong and continue to be so. At least for the foreseeable future.
Well, we always appreciate your insight and love the charts and graphs this morning. They were colored blue, by the way, for the listening audience. We always appreciate you coming and sharing your knowledge with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
He's Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago, kingsview.com. And I'm Steve Krasanich on 720 WGN.